Let us pray. Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus for this opportunity once again. Thank you for this class. We thank you for your word. We thank you for what you're about to do, what you're about to say. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I'm excited. Man, something about to happen here to y'all this evening. You have no idea. Boy, I couldn't wait to get here. I've been up since 6 o'clock in the morning. Couldn't wait to class started. Hallelujah. Couldn't wait to get to y'all. Well, we're working on chapter 5 of the book. It's so much information. It's just hard to get to everything at one time. God just advised me, you get your own personal time, go back and just begin to read the chapters and just study them. It's because it's always just good. It's good stuff. All right. Before I forget, I want to say it's not wise in my mind. We will be on regular schedule next week. Some of y'all should have got the email. We will have class, regular schedule, online, regular schedule class. And the exam will pick back up on November 4th. That's going to be exam week on November 4th. But we'll have class next week as a regular schedule. All right? Now, let's get into this thing. We're dealing with chapter 5, the energy of prayer. The energy of prayer. And just the title itself got me excited. When you talk about energy. The energy of prayer. And the first thing I had to do was I had to look up to how to define the word energy to see what it meant. So the definition for the word energy is the strength and vitality required for sustained physical, mental, now I added this, and spiritual activity. I'm going to say it again. Energy, it is the strength and vitality required for sustained physical, mental, and spiritual activity. A strength, a vitality, something that has long life. Now watch the second part. The ability to provide light or heat. So we talk about the energy of prayer. So in other words, when I developed or understand the energy of prayer, every time I pray now, when I pray, I have the ability to bring light to my situation. I also now have the ability to put heat on whatever trying to stop me. Because heat is designed to burn something up. So when I pray or have this energy of prayer, I now bring light and heat at the same time. God to Almighty, boy, that's good stuff there, man. So when I pray, whatever I have darkness about, whatever I can't understand, when I pray properly, I cause an energy that will bring light on a situation. And I also create a heat that will burn up anything that's trying to stop me. All right? The book starts off by asking a few questions. It says, are we praying as Christ did? Don't answer. Do we abide in him? Or our pleas and the spirit, the overflow of his pleas and the spirit. Does love rule the spirit? Perfect love. These are some questions we need to consider. We have every reason to fear that we are doing more other things than prayer. So that's a personal question. You have to ask yourself, don't answer it, ask within yourself. Am I doing other things more than I'm praying? Because as we study this lesson tonight, we're going to look at it. You can tell how much you're praying because it's going to be evident in your life. We're going to deal with it. This age we live in is not a praying age. A what age? We're not living in a praying age, but we are an age of activity. In other words, we are at a place now in the body of Christ where we have, we've reverted instead of going forward, we've gone backwards. We are an age of activity, not an age of prayer. So what I'm saying is now we're at a place now where we're trying to entertain people so much that when we, now don't understand what I'm about to say, nothing wrong with activities, but activities cannot be the sole base for trying to bring people to the body of Christ. See, when I come to church or go to a conference, I'm going to hear the word of God. If I wanted to hear R&B singing, I would stay in my house, put on some music. Help me, Holy Ghost. I don't want to attend a conference to go to a concert. I don't want to attend a conference to go to a 3-on-3 basketball tournament. That's not what I'm here for. Now, if you want to have outside activities for fun for your people, that's one thing. But to try to use the activity to bring to the body of Christ is out of order. So we're spending time in other activities instead of praying. So what we've done, we try to replace prayer with revivals, with conferences, with concerts, with parties, date night at the church. No. To try to bring people in. I remember being a little boy. We even tried. Sunday school was a big thing when I was growing up in the Baptist church. We tried to get, now I say we, I was part of it. I was a little boy. But we tried to get people to attend Sunday school by serving grits and eggs and sausage. You come to Sunday school activity, you get something to eat. But because they didn't understand finances back then, we started getting a lot of people showing up, and now you're over your budget. So you cut the grits and eggs, but when you cut the grits and eggs, the people leave. Because the people didn't come for the word, they came for the... You see what I'm saying? So what happens is, however you got your people, when we talk about activity, if you've gotten the people through an activity, when the activity ceases, the people are going to cease. We have tried to put more emphasis on the seen rather than the unseen and the spiritual. We have tried to put more emphasis on the seen rather than the unseen and the spiritual. We're at a place now in the body of Christ. We try to entertain people. We want to give people something they can see to try to bring them to the spiritual world. But the Bible says a natural man can understand the things of the spirit. They're still carnal. They're still natural. They don't understand. So we have to use spiritual weapons to break that crust. Get on the inside. To know that, let them know there's something realer than moving like hot dogs. Watch this statement here. I love it. Got them. But I really want to run right now around this room, but I can't. Prayer is the greatest of all forces, because it honors God and brings him into active aid. Prayer is the greatest of all forces. Oh, Lord, you got to hit it. It's the greatest of all forces. And it brings God to our active aid. In other words, when prayer is done right, when we pray, when we seek God, God will show up with all his active aid backing up with him and all the angels in heaven. Going to show up on your situation. And no matter what you need, God said, when you pray to me right, Lord, have mercy. There's an energy you're going to come with. There's a light. There's a heat. There's something happening right now. So, and listen, you got heat. You got light. You got God and all his angels backing you up in all of heaven. What else do you need when you pray properly? We understand the energy in prayer. Watch. Oh, Lord. You need substance more than a substitute. Watch this. We have taken the substitute over the substance. Lord, help me, Holy Ghost. We've taken the substitute over the substance. So what happens is, we've gotten so caught up in going to concerts and hearing our favorite song and doing certain things. The devil don't care about you going to no revival. He don't care about you going to no conference. He don't care about you attending this workshop, that workshop. He can care less. What he don't want you to do is to pray. Because he knows anytime you pray, see, Satan knows there's energy with prayer. He knows that if you get into the presence of God and start talking to God and God start talking to you, you're going to get some light. You're going to get some heat going. You're going to start moving all in heaven. See, wherever there's a real, there has to be a fake. Wherever there's a real apostle, it has to be a fake one. That's why you got to pray. He said, my sheep know my voice, but a stranger won't. Why? Because there's going to be a fake one going to show up. And if you don't understand the real between the fake, you're going to get confused. Yeah, where there's a real police, there's a bootleg police. Well, there's a real judge, there's a fake judge. I just saw the news earlier. See, somebody say, don't take the substitute. Say, don't take the substitute. Because the substitute don't have what it need to fulfill you. It can't sustain you. See, that's why it's called substitute. I said it to say this. They had an episode today of a teacher. Well, first of all, it wasn't she's a teacher. She's a substitute teacher. Some of y'all might have saw it today. How many of y'all saw it on the news? Well, y'all ain't saw it yet, huh? You gonna see it when you get home. They had a substitute here in the city of Baton Rouge. Got upset because the kids wasn't listening. Say substitute. And cussed him out like a dog. And then they didn't realize one of the kids had a cell phone recorder the whole time. I'll let you listen to what she said. But see, the substitute don't have the kids at heart.
That's right.
The substitute don't have you at heart. See, oh Lord, y'all got that spirit on y'all again tonight. I hear that song, Ray Charles say, ain't nothing like the real thing, baby. Ain't nothing like the real thing. Ain't nothing like prayer, man. Ain't nothing like getting the presence of God. But see, we substituted that with activities. See, we're not here at every Christian Word Training Center because we ain't got nothing else to do. This is just not another activity. When we come here, I'm expecting to hear something from God. Reverend Montreal said, if you didn't come here to hear from God, what you here for? You can go ahead on what night? Is it Monday night? Yeah, it's night, Monday night. It's Monday or Tuesday? Oh, Tuesday. See, I don't know. I'm just so excited. Well, Tuesday night. I know some of y'all at home, internet, cut that TV off. Know y'all watching. What time is it? 8:25? Hollywood Hugs and something on. Folks here coming on night. Yeah, it's the premiere show. Cut it off. VT Awards, cut it off and get on the internet. Yeah, somebody watching ain't watching Clan right now. They're going to wait tomorrow to watch the film. I busted you. We have taken the substitute over the substance. Y'all heard that? All right. Prayer must be continuous and particularly always, everywhere, and everything. Prayer must be continuous and particular, always, everywhere, and in everything. That's one thing I love about the apostle. Before I even started teaching this book, our man of God, our pastor, our president, our leader, this is something he's been teaching since I've been knowing him, before we even got this book. He says prayer must be continuous and particular, always, everywhere, and everything. I hear pastor talking about it all the time, so I've been following him. Number one, he always prays. You can catch him walking on the treadmill, at his house, sitting on that big rocker, do whatever you want to do. If you see him, he always going to be praying. This is not something he just started. So when should we pray? Always. Watch the second part. He say, everywhere. I don't care where you see him at. In the back of the Rolls Royce, on his horse, on his bike, on the train, in Eden, I don't care what it is. He's everywhere he pray. Everywhere. And last but not least, in what? Everything. So, no matter what business transaction he makes, what decision he makes about the ministry, should he change the time? Should he do the carpet? Should he do this, that? Everywhere, everything, always, everywhere, he's constantly in prayer. Because when you're constantly in prayer, you become tuned to God's voice. And when you become attuned to God's voice, no matter what you ask, what you're doing, where you're going, when you hear his voice, you move. And when you do that, watch this here. Now, the supernatural can follow you everywhere you go. Because you're constantly praying, constantly hearing his voice, and do what he say do. Now, if you're not always praying, always praying everywhere and everything, then when God speaks to you, see, even when you're on vacation, he's always praying.
Yes, sir. Yes, he is.
See, help me, Holy Ghost. This is why many people, they want what the apostle has, spiritually. But in order to get what he has, you have to walk like he walked. To see like he see, to hear like he hear, to experience what he's experienced. If you can't do that, you're wasting your time. It's not going to happen just by the laying of hands. If it did, everybody would have it. It's not going to happen because you praise $100 all the one time. You cannot run our spiritual operations on prayers of past generations. You cannot run our spiritual operations on prayers of past generations. I all know, but we talked about how prayer has a consistent breath. Prayer never dies. It's constantly going into the ears of God. Although it's still going, we cannot live off of prayers of grandma. We can't live off of prayers of mom and daddy. I best way I can describe it to you, how many of you like bacon? Hallelujah. He ain't supposed to eat, but it's good. I try to get turkey bacon, just don't taste the same though. Hallelujah. All right. But back in the day, mama used to do them biscuits and syrup. And we I'm from the country. I keep saying I'm from the country. They had that old hard bacon. That hard. I ain't talking about the old slim. I'm talking that real bacon from the pea, the real bacon. But it was good when it was out the pot, when it was fresh. But the next morning, or even any other bacon, if you left it out overnight or left it on the container or anything like that, it was good, but it just don't taste the same. It just ain't. Wasn't fresh. It didn't have that. You know when it's still, you get it out. It didn't have it. But that's how we try to operate on past prayers. They're still going to God's ear, but they ain't fresh. They're good, but it ain't fresh. It ain't small, but it just don't taste the same. It's something about a fresh move of the Holy Ghost. It's something about a fresh prayer. It's something about a fresh word, a rhema word, that causes God to move. Y'all see that?
Yes, sir.
Many people believe in prayer, but many don't pray. Many people believe in it, but many people don't really pray. Most of the time, let's deal with this, our government, for a minute. The only time, thank God I'm on a different system, different government, but you know the only time our government or our United States want to pray is when something happened. So that's the mindset of many people in the world now. They think the only time you're supposed to pray is when, how you say it? Catastrophe has hit, or when something wrong, or somebody's sick, or a tragedy or something that's taking place. But I'm gonna show you something though. I always think about this. Just a little drop of prayer when America come together, you feel a little energy. You feel like you can feel something trying to happen. You know, it's like a motorcycle sitting there and you're cranking it. It's just go, 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 go. It's trembling and it's moving, but it ain't going nowhere yet. See, I think a lot of time when stuff hits like that, God trying to, he's getting our attention. We come together. Let's pray for 9/11. Let's pray for this. Let's pray for that. And you can feel the love. Everybody come together. I feel a rumbling. But as soon as everything get back together, we don't need to pray no more. Everybody go back to their corner. We don't need God. God will need you right now. See, they believe in prayer, but they don't want to pray. See, that's why I think, boy, I can't wait because it's going to happen. That the apostles get to go pray at the White House or something, or up in the Senate. See, they say they won't mind to pray. They really don't want nobody to pray. See, but I'm part of the Apostolic Anointing. If apostles don't get there, this side of them, I am the apostle. I'm going to come off his grace. And see, they want you to come there and pray for the Senate. And the council's like, Father, we want to thank you. We're here for this legislative meeting and we pray that those laws and everything will be set. No, if you ever mess up, let me in there. I know what the apostle do, and I'm going to do what the apostle do. Holy Spirit, thank you up in this place. Anybody that ain't right now, Lord, take them out in the name of Jesus. Anybody don't have your heart at best interest. See, that's prayer, Lord. Anything not right, Lord, set it in place. Any crooked people up here that's not for your people will, Lord, remove them right now. See, they don't want you to pray. No, they want you to entertain them because they think prayer is supposed to be a poem or something to sound good. No, you want something to happen in this state? Let's pray. Yes, Lord. Now I'm talking about people. I can really see the apostle getting there. Lord, have mercy. He may start laying hands and everything else up in there. Like, what is he doing? Oh, Lord. Watch this statement here. Prayer is the easiest, but the hardest thing to do. What? Prayer is the easiest, but the hardest thing to do. Why? Because you got to die. When you go in prayer, man, you got to die, man, because when you pray, when you go into prayer, once again, I'm not going in for me. I'm going in to find out what the will of God is. And can I tell you, many times people don't want to go into prayer because they don't want to know what God's will is. Because God, see, we know what God will is, but we don't want God to tell us, and it might change our plan. I hate referring back to this, but we always going to go back to this. You know you don't need him. But you're afraid to pray because you know if you pray, God will tell you, you don't need him. Okay. You know, I know she's a brick house, but the Lord said, no, she ain't the one. She's not the one. But you're like, Lord. The Lord said, no. So we won't pray. You know that God going to take you from your church. But it's $60,000 a year, Lord. It's $60,000. Should I pray? No, if I pray, the Lord might tell me to stay, not take it. So I won't pray. See, prayer is the easiest, but the hardest. Because when you pray, you got to die. Lord, remember Jesus prayed, say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. See, sometimes we know, we're afraid God would tell us what his will is because we don't want to do it. But we want to pray. Lord, I just want to pray when I got a cold, or I got to pay a bill, or I want to get this car, or this house. See, I want to pray then. See, I want to make God fit my plan. Lord, you know I've been tired, Lord. Lord, you know I saw that house in that dream, Lord. Yeah. But we want to ask God, this is the house God may say, not now. We don't want God to tell us not now. Watch this. Oh, Lord. I'm gonna do like the apostle do. I'm gonna give him credit. This one, when I preach it again, is mine. Apostle said something on Sunday. I said, Lord, I'm gonna jump up my chin when he said it. But it's gonna go good for prayer too. Some of y'all who attend, y'all gonna know. The rest of y'all just get excited like you ain't never heard it. Like it's my first time saying it. When you begin to pray, when you begin to pray to God, it silences hell and re-energizes you. See, when you begin to pray, all heaven stands your attention and hell got to shut up. Because when you're not praying, you got voices running through your head. Your voice, the devil's voice, and God trying to tell you the same time. So you get all kind of confused. Like, Lord, that you? That Lord, who that is? Should I do it? Should I say slap? No, Lord, that you ain't say. Then you start using scripture with the Lord. You know, he did clean the temple with them whips now. So you just start doing all kinds of stuff. So but when you start praying, you close, you shut off. They say you go off in your closet. The old folks say get in your prayer closet. Yeah, yeah. When you get in your, ooh, Jesus. Yeah. When you just begin to get in your prayer closet and just begin to pray and see God, man, you forget all about all your problems, man. Oh, Lord, people say they drink to forget about the problem. No, man, just pray. Man, you get off of prayer so much sometimes, you start praying. Ms. Donna, you get off of that with God, man. You come out like, Lord, where am I? You forget where you're at. Hallelujah, man. See, all hell got to shut up at that time when you begin to seek after God. Because God, now, I'm talking to God, and God's got to talk to me, and can't nobody get in between us, man. Ooh, Jesus. I love that. Look. The weaker you become, the more powerful. Go to 2 Corinthians 13. See, most people don't want to become weak when they pray. I'm strong. All right, be strong. 2 Corinthians 13. Look at verse 9. Wait, look at verse 8. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad. When we are weak, we are what? Oh, yes, sir. When you're weak, you're what?
Strong.
That's why when we pray, when you go after God, seek His will, put yours away. See, come weak before God. I hear the prophet say it all the time. Lord, use my infirmities. Use my weakness. I can't do it without you. See, that's how you got to go into prayer now. Lord, I don't know what to pray about right now. What is it that you need, Father? Talk to me. And as you begin to talk to Him, He'll begin to put on your heart what you need to be praying about. Because I told you, when you do that, He'll begin to show you things that you don't even know. You'll begin to intercede and pray about situations you have no idea what's about to show up. He'll tell you things you need to do. You may get in prayer, the Lord talking to you. And he says, I know you usually go this way this morning, but I want you to take a long route just so you can talk to me. Okay, Lord, I'm going to go that way. Just talking to the Lord. And you pray at noon, or you find out, tragic accident on Highway 20. Oh, Lord, that could have been me. But you wouldn't have known if you wouldn't have got off from prayer. Go to Luke 22. Hallelujah. I never forget it. There are certain nuggets I learned from the apostle. I'll never forget Luke 22. And one of the I'll never forget this, being a young minister. I think I just started off in ministry. I never forget, I heard him make this statement. And he said, I take everything personal. So when I say he say me, that don't mean he was talking to me directly at that time, but everything he say, I say he's talking to me. So he told me, I just let y'all listen to him on Sundays when he's talking. I just let y'all listen to what he's telling me. So he told me, he said, don't ever study to preach, but study to live. See, and that's why this prayer has become so important to me, because this is not something I just show up here on Tuesday night just to teach you. No, this is something I'm living now. This is something I started instituting in my family. You see what I'm saying? And I'm about to show you a scripture, Luke 22 here. I said that to say this, verse 39. I'm going to read it from the King James Version first. He said, and he came out and went as he was walked to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also did what? Called him. Now I want to read it from the Amplified Version, because the word I like right here. And he came out and went, as was his habit, to the Mount of Olives, and disciples also called him. It was a habit of Jesus to always pray. See, this is not something he just did. Anytime after he ministered, he would always go back. Remember I told you, prayer was, it brings light and heat, and it re-energizes you. So every time he pulled himself out, he would go out, pull himself up, and pray. See, this is why it is so important. Spiritual things are real. See, and it took me years. I understand now. It took me years. See, when the apostle finished preaching, unless the Spirit of God hit him and tell him to go ahead and be still, that's the time where I don't want it done to him. Because he just poured out so much himself right now, like Jesus, he needs to go away to re-energize. Hallelujah. I ain't got time to go shake his hand. My problem go away. I need to know God myself anyway. See, I understand. He tried to say, I understand. Yeah, I heard Reverend Montreal talking about it. He said, Pastor, sometimes people come to me and say, what you want? What is it? He'll tell you. And he said, okay, I'll pray. I'll see if I need to pray about it. And he'll never get back with you. Why is that? Because God wants you to become strong enough to get your own answer. Now, he will call you if the Lord tell him. But if he ain't call you back, you better start praying for yourself. Man, I'm telling you, that's good training. That's how we do our children. We got to train our children. We train your little girls. Little girls come washing dishes or whatever, and she got COVID. No, you got to do it again, baby. It's training. And what happened to the body of Christ, because we have so many activities, we don't understand spiritual things. So now, you think, why are you so mean? As real my spirit, why is he doing that? Because that's a real apostle. That's a real man of God. You can't call him on a cell phone at 2 in the morning, somebody needs to talk. You get the whole number call 2 in the morning you want. I will be praying for you. Watch this, I'm about to make a statement. We don't give in the body of Christ as we should. Now, I'm talking financially right now. We don't sow. Every time I've learned, I preached in North Carolina last week. I had a pastor, he called me yesterday. And he was just so excited. Man, he said he's just excited. I dealt with the seed a little bit, but ain't what I was supposed to be dealing with. But Lord took me over that. So what happened was, the people have never sold before. They're sowing now. Hallelujah. And he said, he cried, his wife cried. He never experienced nothing like that before. And anyway, he was just excited. All right? So, even the child, I'm saying that to get to a point where anytime I was trained, you enter to a man of God's prison. I told the people, just put something in his hand. I don't care if it's a dollar. Start off where you at. Don't ever walk up to a man and shake his hand. Hey, how you doing, Rev? No, you don't do that. That's dishonor. All right? If he's a good soul. Not because you don't preach it, because all preachers think. See, I heard a man today talking about, one preacher ain't making all money. I'm in the wrong business. Well, if you think you can do what they're doing, go on out there, get you a billing, get you some chairs and a mic, and go for it. Because if it was about if preachers have money, they got a lot of more preachers around here. So, got to be something else. So, anyway, we don't give like we should. We don't tithe, we don't sow, we don't sow seed. But watch this statement. But we still give more than we pray. And we don't give nowhere near as we should. But we still give more than we pray. Ooh, that's an indictment to the body of Christ, boy. There's something I'm supposed to get to here. There it is. Prayer is the only thing that does any good and the only thing that makes effective everything else that we do. Yet, in spite of the benefits and blessings that flow from communion with God, the sad confession must be made that we are not praying much. Yet, in spite of the benefits and what? Blessings. Go to Psalm 68. Psalm 68. Look at verse 19. Look what it says. Blessed be the who? Who loaded up debtors with what? I see the scripture different now. Benefits can't arrive till you start praying. See, he loads us daily with what? So he loads us daily with benefits. That means I need to be praying daily. So the more I pray daily, the more benefits he loads me with. The less I pray, the less benefit. Could it be the reason why I don't have the benefits that I desire or need or want is because my prayer life don't equal the benefit? Or how can we say the deposits don't equal the withdrawal I'm trying to make? Don't you go to Chase Bank, try to get $10 out, and you got $2.50. Then people will lose you like you're crazy. Well, if we're doing that in the world, why you think God is going to drop his principles, his laws for you? See, we want to get hold to the benefit part. But I told you earlier, if you want a CBDC, He would hear it, experience and hear it. You got to walk like he walked. So there got to be some things that you got to do in order to get those benefits. If the benefits was free, once you got saved, everybody would have them. Why you going? Go to Daniel 9. Why you going to Daniel 9? I'm going to make this statement. Daniel 9. Wow. Prayer is our most formidable weapon, but the one in which we are least skilled and we least use. What? Prayer is our most formidable weapon, but the one in which we are least skilled and the one we least use. I told you Daniel 9, right?
Yes, sir.
Daniel 9. All right, Daniel 9, look at verse 20. And whilst I was speaking and praying, I just saw that. They had these bonnets back in the barber day. And whilst I was speaking, ain't that nothing? And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even of the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me, and he talked with me, and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee, watch this here, the skill and understanding. Watch my statement. Prayer is our most formidable weapon, but the one we which are least skilled and the one we least use. The reason why we aren't praying as we should, because we have not become skilled enough at it. We are not skilled at it, and yet we don't understand it. It's not just something, an exercise we do. It's not something that we do just when something's wrong. See, oh, Lord, that's why we have to be taught to pray. I'm going to get to it in a minute. We're going to deal with that. I changed it, but I like this one a little better. I wrote this way. People praying is as rare as seeing a polar bear in the South. Polar bears are in the South. They up in the snow and mountains and all that kind of stuff. Like it cold. They ain't going to be here too much. That's rare. Now, they may have one at the zoo, they may have a little thing built for them, but you ain't going to see a polar bear here too much. You're going to see a grizzly bear, black bear, and all them bears, but you see no polar bear. You see a big old white polar bear running, you let me know. My point is, that's rare. So, think about how rare it is for people to actually pray. People show up for a good concert, hallelujah, and they will shout, break every chain. Well, we there at that concert, boy. Yeah. Y'all know that. That's some hot stuff, but we love it. Shifting in the atmosphere. Yeah, all right. After everybody in prayer, we're going to be in prayer 2 hours. Look, I got to pick my child up at school. They might call me for work, home call. Come on now, y'all. I told you. See, prayer is not something we want to do, but prayer is the weapon that can change anything. Your singing ain't gonna do it. Your dancing not gonna do it. God said, we got to get back. That's what the apostle is getting us ready for right now. We got to get back to the place where we got to get on our knees and see God, man. We got to fall on our face. Obviously, I used to laugh when I was little, but I came out of church, Christ Church, and they used to get on their face on that floor, boy, and just call out to God. You got to get back to those days. But now we're doing it with skill and understanding. God Almighty. Not just out of religion no more. Now I understand what I'm doing. And when I understand it, become skilled at it, watch this here. I can get something happen whenever I get ready. Pastor talk about all the time. Moses knew his ways, but the children knew his acts. See, but now we're learning the way to contact God for ourselves. So whenever I get something to move, I ain't got to bother. I know what to do. Hallelujah. And I just come and testify to him about what God did. And he say, I taught you, dog. I know you got it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Watch. We are not a praying church as a whole. And it is evident by the lives we live and experience we have at church. We are not praying in church as a whole. And it's evident by the lives we live and experiences we have in church. Most people come to church for activities. I didn't get part of it. I ain't want to be a part of it. They had a conversation going today. This man said, he went to Southern game Saturday. All right? And he said he went to sleep at the game. And I don't know about the game, but I heard that it went almost at 12 o'clock. He said he went to sleep. Y'all might have been there. But he said he went to sleep before the band came up. And he said when he woke up, the game was just ending. So he must have seen for a pretty long time. Apparently, they said they had rain delays or something. I don't know what happened. But a poor boy, he said he was in church. I heard him talking. And he said, yeah, Rev lost his mind Sunday. And the guy said, yeah. Now I'm listening. I heard Rev my intention. So he said, yeah. He said, Rev preached for 25 minutes Sunday. I said, what are you talking about? So the guy asked him, I'm listening. I'm eavesdropping now. The guy asked him, say, that's a long time? He said, yeah. I ain't gonna say the denomination. He said, because what church we go to, they know they don't preach no more than 15 minutes. So then the guy threw me in there. I knew he was gonna do it. He said, Reb. I said, yes. How long y'all preacher preach? He's been messing. I said, he preach as long as he wants. He used to go an hour or so. Boom! I could go to your church and say, yeah, you couldn't go there. I know you couldn't go. You couldn't handle it. I said, you gotta be a man to go to my church. I did. I ain't playing. 15 minutes. Yeah. Pastor did for that Sunday. You trying to control God. You trying to tell God how he going to move. And watch this. I'm going to leave it alone with you back on my lesson. Your life proves you get 15 minutes sermon. Prayer is a trade to be learned and a life trade. Good God Almighty. Prayer is a trade. Prayer is a trade to be learned and a life trade. See, I understand this. He says, we must become apprentice. We must be apprentice and serve our time at it. I understand that because in the bump where I got a couple of apprentices work for me. And they get what they call apprentice license. They go to class every Monday from 6 to 8. They don't have to go to barber college anymore. They pay a little union fee. And the rest of the week they cut you like a regular barber. All right? But they can't get a master's barber license until they get 1,500 hours of classroom time. Once they get 1,500 hours of classroom time, they now can take the test to become master barbers. But as a master barber, I have to sign out to show they've been at work. I have to sign a card to say they have done this. Now they can take the test. Now they can become a master barber. In prayer, we got to be apprentice. We got to sit under the master until the master sign off and say, hey, they're no longer apprentice. They know what they're doing right now. We have to sit there until our time has been served. And when our time has been served right in prayer, God say, now it can start happening. Good God Almighty. And I'm going to tell you, when we tell you how it's going to happen? Next time we're at class, because it's over. God bless y'all.